Capitol here, we've got the Minute Clinic over here, and I got my ears taken care of so I can now hear. So, Representative Murphy, what was that you talked about this morning that I... you want to revisit it? But it reached the point very seriously where I didn't think I had an ear infection because of the old test, you know, you pull on the earlobe, and but it turned out I did have an ear infection. So, but anyway, they got me ready to roll, and I can hear what Senator Frederickson will have to say tonight. So our first, our last section, however, is to go over the State Department's section or state government section. So if the analysts would come forward. And then we're having, while they're coming forward, the final draft, we had a few discussions about the policy items that will be retained in 18-15 and those that will be moved to other conference committees potentially. And so we did have a few changes that we were working on, and that should be ready for us yet this evening so that we can make a motion so people will know what remains in 1815 or 1812 and what goes then out to other places. So with that, why don't we begin? And I'm not sure which one of you wants to go first or is going first.
Okay. I'll start out, Mr. Chairman. I'm Kevin Lundeen, the Senate Fiscal Analyst. And taking a look at the state government, the first item under the Department of Administration is a Senate cut to the Office of Strategic Planning and Performance Management. And this cut eliminates this function within the Department of Administration. The next item is also in the Department of Administration. It's a grant for the Self-Advocacy Network. And this is a grant program that was funded last year for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And this ends the grant program starting in fiscal year 9. It's a $140,000 cut.
I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff. On line 419, there's an initiative for the preference for veteran-owned businesses. This was a governor's initiative that originally was presented last year. The Senate has already passed this bill last year without any funding linked to it, and the House position is to slightly modify the definition of, well, more than slightly modify the definition of veterans that this applies to, so that it applies only to the veterans of the current conflict, and that's why the funding in the House is at the lower level of $88,000. The next item on line 420 is elimination of the Department of Public Safety relocation funds. This was an appropriation that was made last year and is no longer needed. And that the governor, House, and Senate all have this reduction.
The next reduction on line 421 is to the legislature. This is a reduction. The governor had a reduction of $4 million in the carry-forward balance. The House had no reduction there, and the Senate had a reduction of $175,000.
On line 422, you'll see the Republican Convention guarantee. This is a spending item related to a revenue item that was already discussed.
The next item is in the Department of Finance. $400,000 is cut from a $500,000 appropriation made last year for the accounting and procurement system, some risk mitigation and replacement funding dollars. And the next item on line 422 is eliminating the target center payments. The governor eliminated these payments starting in fiscal year 9. The Senate is eliminating the payments starting in fiscal year 2010, and the House does not have this cut. Essentially, the reason the Senate went with after fiscal year 2009 is that's when the current use agreement ends. The next two items are with the Department of Revenue, and we spoke about that the other night, the bank data matches and the increased audit staff.
Beginning on line 427 are the recommended reductions to the legislature. For both the House and Senate, both chambers have recommended a 3% reduction to their operating budgets. And then on line 429 for the Legislative Coordinating Commission, the Senate has the 3% cut to the LCC operating budget. The House did not include a cut for the LCC.
The next item on line 430 is to the governor's office, and the governor recommended a 4% cut, and both the Senate and the House recommended a 3% cut, although the way the Senate approached the 3% cut was they took the direct general fund appropriation and also added in the interagency agreements. The governor's office has a number of agreements to fund some of the policy staff in the governor's office and the Washington, D.C. office, and the total of that is about $820,000. So 3% of that was taken, and that's how the Senate amount of $138,000 was arrived at versus the House amount of $113,000, which was just 3% of the general fund appropriation. The next item on 431 is the state auditor. The governor took a 4% across-the-board cut to the entire appropriation to the state auditor, while both the Senate and the House just made a 3% cut to the items that were non-reimbursable in the state auditor's budget. There's a number of reimbursements to the general fund, and we actually wouldn't have been able to net out the entire cuts that had been presented by the governor. The next item is the attorney general on line 432. The governor had a 4% cut, and both the House and Senate had a 3% cut. Then we move on to the Secretary of State. The governor did a 4% cut there, and the House and Senate both did a 3% cut.
On line 434, the recommendations for the Office of Enterprise Technology, the governor had recommended a 4% operating cut for OET. The Senate has that recommendation at the 4% level. The House has a 2% cut to the Office of Enterprise Technology, and this is related to some additional reporting requirements that are in the language currently of House File 1812, and I think are also included in Representative Solberg's budget reform bill, and I believe also in the Senate budget reform bill. Moving on to line 435 for the Department of Administration. Again, this is the operating budget cut. The governor had recommended a 4% reduction, and the Senate position is a 4% reduction. The House has a recommendation of slightly over 2% operating budget reduction, and this is because the Land Management Information Center and the Environmental Quality Board are protected from any reductions under the House position. Moving on to the next agency, again, is the Department of Finance. Here again, the governor and Senate have a 4% operating reduction, and the House position is a 2% operating reduction. And then finally, moving on to the next page, to line 430.
Mr. Roberts, that's one of the few exceptions then, isn't it? That, I mean, where we went from the House perspective, generally 3, and this was 2. Is that what you what I heard you saying?
Mr. Chair, actually, I think the House position is 3% reduction to the legislature, the House and Senate, and the constitutional offices. And then for the major staff agencies, OET, administration, and finance, it's a 2% reduction on the House side.
That's 2%. Okay.
Yep. And then again on line 437, you'll see that again for the Department of Employee Relations. We're showing this separately, but this funding will be transferred into the Department of Finance when DUER is abolished. And then I'll just continue with Department of Revenue. The House, Senate, and Governor are at the same recommended reduction of a slightly over 3% reduction, but applied only to the non-compliance portion of the department's budget.
The next two items are only within the Senate bill, and they're kind of across the board, not just within the agencies in the state government jurisdiction. The first one is the elimination of the assistant commissioners and limiting state agencies to one deputy commissioner. And that cut brings in a savings of about $3,694,000 starting in fiscal year 9. And then the last item is the professional and technical contracts cut of $5 million, and this applies just to state agencies. It's not including MNSCU or the constitutional officers.
And that's it for the spending changes in state government, if you have any questions.
Okay, are there questions from any of the conferees? Okay, apparently not. Thank you. Must have got most of them done the other night. Rep. Simmer.
There are 439. Approximately how many people is that cut?
Yes. What the bill does is it will eliminate 10 deputy commissioner positions, and there's currently three of those 10 that are filled. They would be, there's in the Department of Commerce, two that would be cut, and in Corrections, one that would be cut. And then there are 38 assistant commissioner positions, and currently there's 36 that are filled.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Is the classification 1A in the statutes, some of those 1As are going to be wiped out. Do you know how many?
The 1As are not included in the Senate proposal, but under the fiscal note that we received, there's about 118 of those 1A unclassified positions.
And Mr. Chair, do you know what proposal is cutting 1As?
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, Ms. the House position is to eliminate the total number of deputy commissioners, assistant commissioners, and 1A positions. The total number of that should be reduced by 25% in the House language. We do not book any savings for that reduction. And the governor would be given the authority to distribute that however he chose.
And is that in language then?
Yes.
Okay. And then do you know how many 1As are part of the 25%?
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, as Mr. Lundin said, that there's, I think, 118 1A positions, but again, the language is, gives the flexibility to distribute that 25% within those three categories, so it wouldn't.
And the executive branch decides that.
Yes. Mr. Roberts. That, and the Mr. Marks pointed out that that language is on our 28th, then, for anybody that wants to double check. I have a question, a follow up to Representative Murphy's question now. When you say 10 commissioner positions, does that include then the support personnel for them? I assume when you put a commissioner online, there are other assistants and that kind of thing that would be a part of that commissioner's support staff.
Well, the language that we have in the Senate bill is actually just making the statutory changes, wiping out the assistant, and then limiting to one deputy. So we're not counting any savings for any support staff or specifically eliminating any support staff that would be associated
it's
with those positions.
It's just the commissioners, so we're clear on what's happening there then. Or Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair, is the House proposal to do these the 25% cuts on top of the 4% to the operating budget?
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, the House does not book any savings for this reduction. So in terms of the budget impact, it would not necessarily, it wouldn't be in addition to the 4%, but
it could be the way that they get to the 4%.
Exactly.
I think the other issue there was, and maybe Ms. Roberts can correct me, but I had some discussions with Representative Kahn, and it was she wasn't sure what some of the other divisions might do relative to commissioners, and so I think she was attempting also to avoid any double booking, if you will, if she were taking the savings and somebody else did as well in another division. So that was the way she handled that, and you're nodding yes. So that was the other reason or one of the reasons for that approach. Okay, any other questions? You almost got away from the table once before. Try again. I think we're waiting on that copy yet. What's the status, Joanna? copies are being run with enough members. Okay. We might as well proceed. And what that was about, we did have, as I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, some changes in the list of items. They have enough copies run for the conference committee members, and they're continuing to run copies, so members of the public will be getting them shortly. This is the list then that was identified as policy items that, as I mentioned before, will be moved to other conference committees. Not necessarily all of them created yet. They will be. And so from our perspective, though, they will be moved from this bill and then reassigned as conference committees become available for them to be reassigned to, is my understanding. Is that yours as well, Senator Cohen?
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, certainly I think the conferees are aware of, and hopefully others are aware of, the discussion that we've had over these last couple of weeks, where the intent has been to try to work primarily on the supplemental finance bill and not have ourselves get hung up on a lot of extraneous policy. Now, we recognize that some of that's in the eye of the beholder, that one person's policy is another person's appropriation. But Mr. Chairman, you and I have worked many hours to try to go through all the provisions and try to make a determination as to what we thought was clearly policy, try to make some judgments on gray areas, and then items that clearly reference an appropriation or some type of spending of money. And so what we've had distributed to conferees, and I know that Senator Frederickson and Senator Higgins have had a chance to review this, and we've had some discussion, is what seems to be what we think is an agreement, Mr. Chairman, with yourself and hopefully your conferees, as to matters that are to be reassigned to another conference committee. Representative Carlson, or Mr. Chairman, you and I have discussed the fact that we're the finance chairman. We are not assuming the responsibility for placement everywhere, but we do have a promise from on the Senate side, the majority leader, and I believe on the House side from the Speaker, that there will be appropriate policy bills appropriate for the items moved out. So I think we're safe in proceeding with what's in front of us.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, just for the benefit of the House members, they also had an advanced copy, but there were some discussions and some changes. So the list now that's before us reflects the input from conferees and some of the fiscal chairs as to what they thought would be policy and what would be fiscal. So this reflects that work, if I understood it correctly, or the updated list.
And Mr. Chairman, if you'll allow me, I don't want to necessarily suggest this is a matter of institutional preference on the part of the Senate. I think it might be a fair statement that it's not that the Senate bills have been totally devoid of policy items over the last X number of years, but I think for a variety of reasons, I think if you look at our conference committees over these last several years and you look at the comparison between Senate bills and House bills, there tends to be, without trying to, you know, weigh this item by item, probably a little bit more on the House side. So I think the Senate's appreciative of the House being willing to consider allowing some of these issues to take place in other committees. That's not to suggest we won't continue to have some combination of policy and appropriations in this bill, but I think it allows us to get that much further in trying to resolve this and deal with the deficit.
Yeah, and it's important that everybody understand that these are going to be reassigned.
Yes.
So that means the issues are still live, but just will be in a different location for discussion with other conferees. Would you like to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, assuming committee members have already had the opportunity to review this, I'd move that the issues that are on the list in front of us, this is labeled, this is House File 1812, issues reassigned to other conference committees, not be the subject of further discussion by this conference committee and allow these matters to be reassigned. And okay, we so
the,
move.
The motion then is before us. Any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would assume, though, this is the way we're going to proceed now, but we get down towards the end of the bill, and there would be three votes on both sides to put an item in the bill from this list, that would be in order.
Well, they would reflect positions of one body or the other. That would, I think our intent, however, and they would be in order, but our intent would be that these would be hopefully acted upon.
Acted somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
I understand that, but they still would be before this committee, even though we expect them to deal with somewhere else, and it came down to we're wrapping up the bill, and there were three votes on each side of the table to put something in the bill that was in the bills as they came to conference committee, that would be in order.
It's your interpretation.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my interpretation might be a little bit in between, but I would certainly, if we are hoping and expecting these matters to be conferred elsewhere. But if three members on each side, but you know, these items will still be in the side-by-sides. And if there are three members from each side who wish to revisit this, obviously that would be within our jurisdiction.
I would hope that, you know, the understanding, however, is that these are being moved over for other conference committees, that this is mainly fiscal, and, you know, that we not sit here going over item after item. If other conference committees have chosen not to take something up for whatever reason, that we don't become the committee of last resort if the policy committees, because it's our policy items, have chosen not to move forward or have moved forward in a different way. But our intent is, in good faith, to have those other conference committees work on these issues and arrive at their own compromises, if you will.
And Mr. Chairman, I would agree with that, although, we all have a degree of seniority, that if we're attempting...
Some have more than others.
That's true. that if we're attempting to resolve, resolve this bill, and we find ourselves hung up on an issue or two issues, it's not that we're going to revisit, the 75 matters, whatever we have, but if we find ourselves revisiting one or two issues, we would still have the ability to do that, to finish the bill, if necessary.
And Mr. Chairman, as I pointed out, they would be positions. It's just that the hope is that's the reason we're doing this, is that the vast majority, if not all of that work, would be satisfactorily resolved other places.
And I would agree with that. I think Senator Fredrickson would as well.
Mr. Chairman, absolutely, I would agree with that.
Okay, any other discussion? Seeing none, then, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Next meeting.
Sounds like we have trouble.
The one item that I was going to suggest is that we could have Tom Hansen come in and walk us through the governor's list of, that document that was released last Friday.
Okay, if he's willing.
If he's willing to do that, we could invite
otherwise
him.
Same or similar.
And then we had that the same and similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it sounds like we have a tough time tomorrow.
Okay.
What's for us?
So we could just say to be announced on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. The chair's just had a conversation about our next meeting, and we decided that we're at that point where we're going to invite at some point, if he's available, Commissioner Hansen. He's agreed that he would be willing to participate and provide information to comment on some of the governor's thoughts with their initial suggestions. So we will extend that invitation. Yes. And the other thing is that we would take up then probably at our next meeting the same and similar items and get those disposed of. Tomorrow doesn't look like a good day, so the way we'll leave it is that we will be meeting on Wednesday, but the time will be announced by the co-chairs. Okay, with that, any questions? Meeting adjourned.
Okay. Can we talk to Jan?
I'm good.